Dark Cast Network. The light shines brightest on our indie podcasts.
What's happening? What's going on, dog?
Well, as you know already, I have the vid that I caught from my child and my husband.
Who caught from my child?
So, I mean, you know, we all got the cocoa over here. And, except for Gracie now, she's over it. Yay. Yeah, that's about it. Been fucking, you know, trying to stay my ass at home. And not catch or spread the shit.
Yeah, that's the real problem. Keeping people at home who are positive and infectious.
Yeah, because we have to go. Like, we don't have any food.
We have no food. You're not supposed to go anywhere.
We don't have any food. Send food. So, yeah, it's like, ugh.
You know what you should have asked me to do is to bring you this fucking pork from my refrigerator that I have for you.
Didn't even think about that.
You would have bacon, sausage, pork chops, roasts.
We need vegetables. We need, you know, like roughages. We don't have any.
What's in your garden?
There is no garden. Everything is dead.
What? You didn't grow any lettuce or kale?
No.
Greens?
Like, everything died. It all died. Okay. So.
Okay. All right. Well, we are in the same room, or maybe we're not in the same room. Let me know if you could tell listening to this episode.
Yeah, we're doing a distanced episode today. Getting our...
Yeah, man.
Making use of my new microphone that I still haven't had a chance to fucking use yet.
Well, if it sounds fabulous, we'll just keep it up and see if we could work from there. It is our 3-year anniversary of the podcast.
Yay! Woohoo! That's exciting.
That is very exciting. It's funny that we're here, like, in this circumstances, but we're still making fucking magic happen. You cannot stop the Book of Life podcast.
You can't stop it. You cannot stop it.
You cannot stop it.
So what's going on? What's going on in the Hepburn household?
Hepburn Hacienda? Well, you know, we're fighting the good fight. I still have my littlest one home because she's still coughing. And I just, you know, I just can't deal with, like, daycare and situations. So I'm counting down, like, till Bren starts kindergarten. Like, I got the date last night.
Oh, you did?
I was like, okay.
Or the enrollment
6
date.
Months. Then when the day school starts, I wrote that shit down. I was like, all right, school starts on this day. We got 6 months. And then it's going to be a whole new ball game when your children no longer need, like, childcare and they are getting their education on in
when
school.
When they don't need you to fucking wipe their fucking nose.
They still need you to wipe the nose sometimes, but at least I will have, you know, education in the form of free childcare. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's the that sentiment is the problem. Childcare.
I know.
Babysitter. Okay, well, when your kids fucking stupid wandering the streets because they don't know nothing, don't say shit.
Right, but I'm not calling it like glorified childcare.
No,
it's
not.
They need to get their education. They need to start learning. They need to start interacting with other kids. They need to start, you know, being able to spot bullshit from other kids. Johnny said this. Terry said this because they're full of shit. Can't you see that? This is when these kids really start learning, when they really get into school. So I'm excited about that. Tomorrow or today, as you guys are listening to this podcast, if you're listening today on Friday, thank you so much for listening. Thank you guys for being here. But today I am taking my real estate licensee exam. And
did you say licensee? Like,
that's what it's called, licensee. Like, that, if I have a license, I'm a licensee.
Oh, licensee. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
okay.
You thought I was saying like EY or IE the or something inflection, like that.
It sounded like you said licensee. I was like, shouldn't it be licensing? But okay, got it. Licensee.
Yeah. Yes. It's a 4-hour fucking test, dog.
You don't have to use the whole 4 hours though, do you? I mean, you can just take that shit and be up out of there, right?
I'm saying that's what I'm trying to do because I've been taking these tests every day, like reading all of the answers and answering them and like moving through promptly. So I'm prepared to sit there and answer a bunch of freaking questions. But if it doesn't take that amount of time, cool. Bob was saying that once you hit like the threshold, like 70% or something of the test, they stop you and then you don't have to continue, I guess. I'm not sure.
Like they end your
test. I don't know if it's, I think so. I don't know. I don't know if it's a computer. I actually have no idea what the testing circumstances are or like the situation or anything like that. I know I can't bring shit in there. Like I know when I took my GRE.
Write it on your
hand. You got to lock everything away. But when I took the GRE in, what's that place called? Where all the Armenians live in LA.
Little Armenia?
No. Burbank. No. Is it Burbank? No.
Was it Chatsworth? Or not Chatsworth?
No. It's one West of those Hills cities that's there. Glendale. Oh, Glendale.
Oh, girl, you was way on the other side. Okay.
Glendale. When I took my GRE, that was years ago. Like in 2014, I think. That's when I took it. But I had to lock my stuff away in a locker. And I couldn't have shit. I just had to do it on the computer and take my test. Mm. So I think this is going to be the same situation. But anyway, that's what's going on with me. Let's get into it, honestly, because my phone battery is going to die. And I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this is...
Book of Lies.
The podcast.
It's Bolt, bitches.
Yes. Okay. We're moving forward. I love it. Hey, again, listeners, thank you for being here. I don't care when you're listening. I don't care if it's Saturday, Sunday, Monday. You're listening, and I appreciate that, and we appreciate you. And if you aren't already, go ahead and connect with us on social. You can follow us on Twitter at Book of Lies Pod, on Instagram or Facebook at Book of Lies Podcast. You can visit our website, Book of Lies Podcast at that's our email, bookoflies podcast@gmail.com. But our website is bookoflies podcast.com. And hold the phone. I completely forgot. We have a new patron and we never gave her a shout out on the podcast. Uh-oh. So we would like to give a warm bulb welcome to our new patron, Tara.
Tara, yay.
Yay, 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 yay. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoy. And if you want to get like Tara, check out our Patreon. We've got tiers. We've got videos. No, we don't. We've got we've got bonus episodes, commercial-free episodes, early episodes, love letters from us. You can write to us, whatever you'd like. Join us on Patreon. All right, Brandy, what are we talking about today?
Okay, so as you know, I binge-watched and paid some attention to Inventing Anna, right? The Anna Delvey show. The Anna Delvey show! the freaking it's not a documentary, the series Inventing Anna, which is
Shondaland. It's a Shonda production.
Yeah, and it's come on fictionalized now. But they do mention some real life people, and one of them is Billy McFarlane's fucking fraudster ass who
I've seen him in there. She's oh Billy, oh this is small potatoes Billy, a party fire. Ugh. I was just like, did they really have to throw Billy McFucking Farland up in
that
here?
Just shows that she was hanging out with fucking, you know, other crooks. Other fucking people. So that again, I was like, oh shit, let me get on here, because they also mentioned this motherfucking asshole.
Ooh, come through.
Who is or was at that time, that point in time, at one point in time, maybe he still is, the most hated man in America.
I know what you're talking about. Go.
The pharma bro, Martin fucking yes. Shkreli.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, let me go on here and do, you know, my research on Martin fucking Shkreli. And so we're going to get into this fuck face.
Let's go!
So I watched the documentary called Pharma Bro, which came out last year. And honestly, it's more like a fucking fellate. This movie is basically like a blowjob for fucking, in my opinion anyway, for Martin Scully. But whatever. Damn. I also, you know, got info from FBI.gov, of course, the Wikipedia, and FBI.gov has a lot of stuff on this guy, but we're going to get into it. So, Martin Scully has a special place in my Hope Satan Makes Him His Bitch in Hell bucket. So, that is where he belongs. I think he might be down there with, like, one other person. So, he's a smug piece of shit. I don't fucking like him. I wish I could punch his fucking face. Martin Scully was born in Coney Island to immigrant parents from Croatia and Albania. His parents worked as janitors, and according to him, they raised him and three other children in a two-bedroom apartment. So they were poor. They were fucking, you know, poor. He went to, you know, school. He did well in school, but he didn't graduate. And there's speculation that either he was expelled or he dropped out of high school. Or not dropped out, but left high school. So he didn't graduate from the high school he went to. Whatever. But he did manage to get an internship on Wall Street, and he got a bachelor's in arts in business administration from Baruch College in 2004. While he was working for the company that he had interned for, he worked there for like 4 years. While he was working there, he was investigated. He suggested that the firm that he worked for, that they should short a pharmaceutical stock. And then the stock, they did it, and the stock fucking plummeted. And so there was, the FCC or the FBI or whoever was like, something's fishy. But mm-hmm. there was no evidence that he was involved, so nothing came of it. In 2006, he decided to start a hedge fund. So he started a hedge fund called Elliott Capital Management, and that company, Elliott Capital, was a company that would short stocks, shorting pharmaceutical stocks. That's what he basically got into. He did trading and whatnot, but
a stockbroker,
right? But in 2007, Lehman Brothers, and we all know about them fucking assholes, they sued him.
I don't.
Lehman Brothers was one of the big banks, one of the big investment firms that tanked during the bubble collapse during.
Oh, okay. Now the name sounds like I could picture it now. Mm-hmm. The name.
Yeah. And, what was that movie?
The Big Short.
In The Big Short, Lehman Brothers is mentioned a lot.
Okay.
They sued him. They sued Martin Scully and his company, Elia, because he didn't pay when the stock they purchased, a stock that he purchased rose in price, and so he couldn't cover the, I forgot what it said. Basically, he bought a stock, he bet against the stock that the stock would tank. It didn't, it rose. And when it did, he couldn't pay to cover, you know, the cost of whatever it was that he, you know.
His loss, he couldn't pay the losses. Right.
They won.
The differential.
Yeah, I forgot what it was called. I didn't write it down because I'm really not into all of these fucking confusing ass terms that they use to freaking try to keep, you know, lay people out of stock trading. But
you know what? This is so totally random. But I read the terms of service today for something. I read the terms of service. I read the privacy policy, and I read something else, their referral program. I read the fucking legal jargon and I understood it. And I was like, oh my God, I have evolved. I'm a fucking dragon right now.
I am a dragon.
I'm a reading dragon.
All right.
I didn't subscribe after I read all the services and all that shit. I was like, no. Mm-mm.
That's funny. I guess. All right. Well,
I took a screenshot of something that I saw was questionable, and I'll send it to you. I was like,
mm-mm. No, thank you.
Yeah.
Well, they sued him, and they won. They were awarded $2.3 million. But as we all know, the fucking dot-com, I was going to say the dot-com bubble. Woo! The real estate bubble and the crash of 2008 put their asses out of business. So they, while they were awarded $2.3 million, they weren't able to collect because they folded.
Mm.
Yeah.
Damn. Okay. Yeah.
That's what you they get for, out of money. For giving yourselves all those raises and shit, you fuck faces. Anyway, remember when they got a loan? The government gave them loans and they gave themselves fucking the buyout and shit?
Mm-hmm.
Fucking assholes.
They gave them a buyout package and they gave themselves bonuses, which is like a slap in the face. Crooks!
Okay. So in 2009, they, I guess, closed Aaliyah, sold Aaliyah. I don't know what they did. But he and another friend of his started a company called MSMB Capital Management. And it's the initials of Martin Shkreli and the guy that he opened the company with. His initials are MB. Their capital management firm was another one that shorted biotech company stock. And on February 1st, 2011, they engaged in some fuckery. They did a naked short sale on an account that they held with Merrill Lynch. So a naked short sale is when... So he shorted 32 million shares of a stock called Orexigen Therapeutics. And he sold it for about $2.50 a share. The price was $9.09 the day before. And the stock went down because the FDA didn't approve one of the drugs that they were trying to get approved. But the stock price went back up. And they couldn't fucking cover the position. And Merrill Lynch basically lost $7 million on that trade. So.
Damn.
Uh-huh. And because they lost money, MSMB also lost money. They basically, they went fucking broke. Didn't have any fucking money.
Hmm. I know what that's like.
Yeah. They basically had to close their doors.
Yeah, it sucks.
But that's not what they did. Because, you know, when in doubt, lie.
When in doubt, fraud it out.
But what he did was start another company called MSMB Healthcare Capital Management, which was another hedge fund, which basically did the fucking same thing, shorting biotech and pharmaceutical stock.
So when he start, help me understand this. He starts a new company. What's the purpose of it? What's the purpose of starting the new company if you still don't have any money?
To make money. Because he's going to get money from investors to start this company. Well, not to start the company. He's going to get... to start the company, basically. He's going to get money from investors.
I've got a new venture.
Uh-huh. I'll get there.
Help me, help me, help me.
I'll get there. So while he's with, you know, his MSMB healthcare company, he does fucking dirt. So in 2011, he filed requests with the FDA to reject some new cancer diagnostic device that a biopharmaceutical company had made, and he also tried to keep them from putting in from approving an inhalable insulin, you know, for asthma, an inhalable mm-hmm. insulin therapy, because he wanted to fucking short sell the company. So he was short selling those companies, but he's contacting the FDA to keep them from approving their fucking products.
What a dick.
To keep their stock prices from going up. Right? So he's fucking around with the fucking prices. He's basically, he's committing a fucking felony. And he's, the FDA is like, or the SEC should be involved in this. But.
I think, what is this called? It's not racketeering. Antitrust. That's what it's called. Yeah.
Well, I don't know if it was antitrust because he was writing to the FDA to, you know, get these things done, but he wasn't involving himself in the actual companies. You know what I mean? He was basically trying to say...
Just being a fucking hater.
He was basically like, you know, if... okay. He was trying to prevent, you know... Yeah, he was trying to prevent... He was trying to fuck with the stock prices. That's what he was doing. Fucking fucker. So eventually those products did get approved. The FDA did, eventually approve those products. And then in 2011, he also tried to bid for... So there was a company called AMAG Pharmaceuticals that was... they were going to merge with another company. Mm-hmm. And so what he did was he went and put in a cash bid for the company. A cash bid for $378 million. Right? Because he was trying to do a hostile takeover, pretty much, of this company.
Okay.
Because he wanted to keep the company from merging with another therapeutic, another company. So basically, mm-hmm. instead of him allowing this, you know, to happen or whatever, he's trying to get involved because he wanted to either fire the head of whichever company, you know, it was. I don't know which company it was. He was trying to stop them from fucking merging, or he was trying to buy the company so that he could fire the key players in the business. He was involving himself in some shit because, again, stock prices.
Yeah, this is conflict of interest?
Mm-hmm. Majorly. That happened, and then this company, he had that company, I guess, from 2011 to 2004. Then he decides he's going to start another company. He founds a company called Turing Pharmaceuticals. And if you don't know what Turing Pharmaceutical is, we will get to that. So Turing Pharmaceuticals, he founded this company in February 2015 after he left the company Retrofin. That was the company that he was with when he was fucking with everything. And Retrofin, actually, they fired him. They demoted him from, he was CEO of Retrofin. They demoted mm-hmm. him because he was doing that fuckery. And they were like, we should, you know,
separate.
Yeah, you need to tone it down. Tone it the fuck down, dude. Okay, so anyway, Retrofin was also the company called MSMB Healthcare. So at some point, they changed the name to Retrofin. Retrofin, mm-hmm. excuse me. That was the company that he was fucking with, those, you know, calling the writing to the FDA and fucking with people's mergers and shit.
Being a Hayden ass Hayden.
Right. He, September 2014, the company was like, we need to replace you, dude, from being CEO.
And he's pretty young as well, right?
He's the same age as you.
Oh, okay. We're fabulous.
He resigned from the company in October 2014 when they wanted to replace him. So they replaced him, while he was CEO, his employees would do shit. Like, they would go on Twitter and use fake Twitter accounts, and they would basically tweet at other biotech companies and, you know, other fucking firms, not other biotech companies, other firms to short sell bio company stocks.
They're dicks.
Yeah, they're assholes.
Isn't that shit that, like, you know, sowing mistrust? Isn't that what fucking Russia did?
Him and his company, like, he would encourage people to, this guy is the ultimate troll. He's an awful, he's a troll. Like, he would do Facebook Lives and, you know, do live chat, and, like, people would call him on his phone, on his cell phone, and, like, he would just talk shit to them and, you know, call people names. He's really gross. So, after he left the company, Retrofin, they sued him because they said he breached his duty of loyalty to the company. And he was, you know, misusing company funds. We'll get there. So they sued him for $65 million.
Jeez.
They accused him of committing stock trading irregularities and other violations of securities rules, which he fucking did. And they said that he was threatening and harassing a former employee and his family.
So he becomes CEO. I'm sure he gets a bunch of stock in the company.
He started the company. That's why he was CEO. He started the company. And then they, like, you know, after... And they're...
They become public and they have a board. They're like, you gotta go.
They were like, in September 2014, they're like, you gotta... Because he was doing stupid shit. Like, he was fucking with he was fucking with stock prices. He was fucking with people online. He was fucking with his employees. So he leaves. He leaves the company. Starts another company called Turing Pharmaceuticals. And that's in 2015. He founded Turing Pharmaceuticals. He had three drugs that he had acquired from the previous company that he was trying to develop. Because not only were they the stock company, they were also developing pharmaceuticals at some point. There were three drugs that he was trying to develop. That one was a fucking... It says it's an intranasal version of ketamine for depression. Ketamine is Special K. Like, what are we talking about? An intranasal version of oxytocin. Not OxyContin. Oxytocin. I don't know why we would need that either. I mean, that's... Oxytocin is what they use to induce your fucking labor. So why would we need an intranasal version? That's weird to me.
Maybe so I don't have to have an IV, I guess. I don't know.
That sounds weird. And Vecamil for hypertension. Okay, whatever. Who cares? His business strategy for touring was to get licenses of out-of-patent medications and reevaluate the pricing of each one and basically raise the price.
What?
Yes. So that's what he fucking did. He acquired Daraprim, which is an HIV drug that treats toxoplasmosis. It was being sold on the market at $3.50 uphill. He fucking raised the price to $750 uphill.
How can you do that?
It's completely legal in this country because the government does not set prices on medications. The pharmaceutical companies do. Daraprim was a drug that was approved in like 1953. And it's been, you know, it's not a drug that's, it's an old drug, but it works. That's why it's still on the market, because it fucking works. And there's no other drug like it. No off-brand drug. There's no, no other pharmaceutical company makes a similar drug. So it is the only one that can treat AIDS-related toxoplasmosis. So people who have AIDS, who get toxoplasmosis and cannot afford $750 for one pill, will die. And they have to take this medication like at least twice a day for weeks to months after getting this fucking medication. You know what I'm saying? After being prescribed this medication. They were banking on the fact that the insurance companies will pay, so patients don't have to pay. But you forget, insurance companies, once a drug gets overly priced, they're like, no, we're not covering that. Oh, sorry, you're going to die? Oh, well, we can't help you.
Yeah, maybe that's what their plan was. Hey, we'll just increase the prices, bill the insurance company. And the insurance company are like, we ain't going for that. Sorry, dog.
Anyway, so this fucker raised the price of a freaking life-saving HIV drug. That's what he did. That's not even why he freaking got in trouble, though. That's what, I mean, he did. That's why he became the most hated man in America, was because of this and because of his behavior. So they raised the price of Daraprim. That was on August 10th was the day that they raised the price. Later on, like he said, they would lower the price. They never did. So on December 17th, 2015, he got arrested.
For what?
The FBI fucking indicted his ass and he got fucking arrested. He was charged with securities fraud, and according to the FBI, the charges were filed after an investigation into his tenure at MSMB Capital Management and Reftrofin. The U.S. Attorney Robert Caper said Shkreli essentially ran his company like a Ponzi scheme, where he used each subsequent company to pay off defrauded investors from the prior company. So I'm gonna
got it.
Yeah. This next thing is all from FBI.gov verbatim, because it's just crazy. So, between September 2009 and January 2011, Shkreli and his co-conspirators falsely represented to potential investors, among other things, that, one, MSMB Capital was a transparent investment vehicle for sophisticated investors with monthly liquidity. Two, Shkreli would only receive 1% management fee per year based on net assets of the partnership.
1%, huh?
Three. 1%. 3, Shkreli was entitled to receive 20% of the limited partner's net profits for the year. And 4, MSMB Capital had retained independent certified public accountants as auditors who would issue an audit report on the annual financial statements. Shkreli also failed to disclose to investors that he had lost all the money he managed in Alia Capital.
Oh, yeah, I don't need to know that. Yeah, I don't need to know that. That's, you know.
Uh-huh. And that Lehman Brothers had a $2.3 million default judgment against him. Finally, Shkreli lied to his biggest investor, telling him that MSMB Capital had $35 million in assets under management, when in fact, it had less than $700 in its bank and brokerage accounts.
Well, gosh darn, yeah.
Uh-huh. Based on these and other false representations, Shkreli and his co-conspirators induced approximately $3 million in investments from 8 investors. That's from MSMB Capital. Now, in February 2011, MSMB Capital failed to settle a short position of more than 11 million shares of Orexigen Therapeutics, Inc. That stock that Merrill Lynch had closed and lost $7 million mm-hmm. over. So at this time, MSMB Capital also suffered more than $1 million in other trading losses. Based on these trading losses, the value of assets in MSMB Capital's bank and brokerage accounts, not including the Orex losses at Merrill Lynch, declined more than $1.12 million on January 31st, 2011, to $58,500 at the end of February 2011. But MSM Capital did not engage in any trading after February 2011. So they closed up shop, right? After 2011, MSMB Capital was like, okay, this is when he starts MSMB Healthcare. He goes in and what he did was started fabricating performance updates to investors. And in September 2012... 18 months, more than 18 months after he lost all the money from MSMB Capital, he sent an email to MSMB Capital investors letting them know that he was winding down the fund, that the original MSMB investors have just about doubled their money minus the fees, and that he... So he emailed them and he was like, you guys already doubled your money, so we're going to close up shop, basically. But he also misappropriated the money from MSMB Capital by taking out more than $200,000 from MSMB Capital, which was way more money, far in excess of 1%, the 1% management fee and the 20% net profit incentive allocation permitted by the partnership.
He's like, I'll just take what I want. So I want it. I'm taking it.
Mm-hmm, and that's why they fucking sued him. The MSMB Healthcare Hedge Fund scheme that he involved himself in was after, you know, that one. Following the collapse of MSMB Capital, after the failed Orex trades from approximately February 2011 to November 2012, Shkreli solicited investments in MSMB Healthcare from potential investors while concealing from them his disastrous past performance as a portfolio manager for MSMB Capital and Alia Capital, and the $7 million liability that Shkreli owed Merrill Lynch from the February 2011 Orex trades. Shkreli also falsely represented that MSMB Healthcare had $55 million in assets under management. Based on these and other representations, Shkreli and his co-conspirators induced approximately $5 million in investments from 13 investors. So let's see, that's 13 and then 8 from the previous. So that's 25 so far that he's like 25? Is that? No, not 25. What is that? 22? 23?
13 and 8, it's 21.
It's 107, okay? So he robbed 107 people of their fucking money because he's a greedy fuckface. As with MSMB Capital, Shkreli provided MSMB Healthcare investors with performance updates that were based in large part on an internal inflated valuation of Retrofin, his private biopharmaceutical company that had received investments from MSMB Healthcare. He misappropriated funds by withdrawing money from MSMB Healthcare that was far in excess of the 1% management fee and the 20% net profit incentive allocation permitted by the partnership agreement. Additionally, without the investor's knowledge or consent, he improperly used MSMB Healthcare assets to pay for obligations that were not the responsibility of MSMB Healthcare, including using at least $900,000 to settle claims brought by Merrill Lynch in connection with the failed Oryx trade. So he took out $900,000 to pay off Merrill Lynch. That's just, not even enough.
Just call it $1 million. Just call it $1 million. Why 900?
Between March 2011 and September 2014, Shkreli and Grebel, that's the other guy that they fucking, you know, they were indicting, together with others engaged in a scheme to defraud Retrofin by misappropriating Retrofin's assets. This is the company that he used to fucking mark up the price of fucking Daraprim. By misappropriating Retrofin's assets in an effort to pay off Shkreli's personal and unrelated professional debts and obligations. Specifically, Shkreli and Grebel defrauded Retrofin by causing it to, one, transfer Retrofin shares to MSNB Capital, even though MSNB Capital never invested in Retrofin. Two, enter into settlement agreements with defrauded MSNB Capital and MSNB Healthcare Investors to settle liabilities owed by Shkreli and the funds. And three, enter into sham consulting agreements with other defrauded MSNB Capital, MSNB Healthcare, and Elia Capital Investors as an alternative means to settle liabilities owed by Shkreli and his hedge funds. So basically, he was like, oh, yeah, we're gonna be consultants for you. But there were lies. Like, he was faking consulting agreements. Mm-hmm. He's a fucking idiot. In December 2012, despite the fact that Retrofin's books and records did not reflect any investments by MSNB Capital, Shkreli and his partner engaged in a series of fraudulent and backdated transactions to create the appearance of an investment by MSNB Capital in Retrofin. They orchestrated these transactions in part to support Shkreli's false representations to the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission in November 2012 that MSNB Capital was still in operation and had $2.6 million in assets under management.
Terrible.
Between February... this is all from FBI.gov, by the way. Between February 2013 and August 2013, Shkreli and his partner, with others, caused Retrofin to enter into settlement agreements with MSNB Capital and MSNB Healthcare Investors to resolve their claims and threats of claims, which were based on Shkreli's false representations about the exceptional performance of the funds. Notably, they did not seek authorization from the board prior to entering these fraudulent settlements. Shkreli and his partner caused Retrofin to pay more than $3.4 million in cash to RTRX and RTRX stock to settle claims with seven MSNB Capital and MSNB Healthcare investors. So the investors were getting fucking suspicious and they were like, okay, well, we'll pay you. Like, what?
We'll pay you money we don't have. Yeah, whatever. I'll give you money. Relax. Relax. They probably like, can we have some of our money, please? Because if you're telling me I have monthly liquidity, that means I could take money out monthly and have access to that. And they probably didn't.
Yeah, he was like, okay, they're gonna sue us, so we should just give them some money. Because okay, so in August 2013, when Retrofin's external auditor questioned the settlement agreements and determined that Retrofin was not responsible for the claims resolved in the settlement agreements, Shkreli and his partner caused MSNB Capital and MSNB Healthcare to execute indemnification agreements and promissory notes for the benefit of Retrofin, even though they knew the funds had no assets. Shkreli and his partner, together with others, then devised an alternative approach to settle with the remaining defrauded hedge fund investors, namely settlement agreements under the guise of consulting agreements. On October 16th, 2013, when Shkreli initially questioned this new approach, his partner told him, "We can call it a settlement agreement, but given whoever the auditor is, so-and-so's recent behavior, they may require it to be disclosed in the financials. I was trying to prevent that issue." So him and his partner were like fucking conspiring to do some dirt. Of course.
Of course.
Between September 2013 and March 2014, he and his partner caused Retrofin to enter into four sham consulting agreements with defrauded investors from the funds Retrofriend did not receive any legitimate counseling services based on these sham agreements, but put more than $7.6 million in cash and RTRX stock. But paid more than $7.6 million in cash and RTRX stock to settle claims that the auditors had previously determined were not the responsibility of Retrofin. So basically, he was like putting Retrofin forward to pay off all of the fucking debts that he owed from MSMB Consulting or MSMB Capital and MSMB Healthcare. Using the company and the company's money that it didn't even have.
Wow, what a dick.
So that's, he was arrested and those were his charges. Okay. Now, between the time that he's arrested and the time that he goes to trial, he does a bunch of shit. A bunch of shit. Okay. In 2015, on November 24th, 2015, this was like a month before he got arrested. Not even a month, some weeks, like 2 weeks before he got arrested. He won an auction bid. He bid on and won the auction for the Wu-Tang Clan album. Wu-Tang Clan's album, Once Upon a Time in Shaolin.
Oh, yeah, and that's Wu-Tang. Okay.
Yeah. It's one fucking copy. That's the only copy of this album. He won the fucking auction. He paid $2 million for it. October 2016, he, on his Twitter account, he said that he would release the album for free download if Donald Trump won the 2016 presidential election. And if Hillary Clinton won, he would destroy the album.
Oh my God.
Right? When fucking Trump won the election, he shared the intro and one track. Did he release it for download? No. Because he's a fucking liar.
Liar.
Then, okay, so in February 2016... he fucking decides he wants to offer $10 million to own Kanye West's album, The Life of Pablo. He wants to be the only owner of the album. He wants to just have one pressing of this album. Basically, you know, he gets the masters. Kanye's like, no.
Why would I do that? No. Why would I do that? Like, who do you think you are? I'm not making music for you, motherfucker.
So then he increases his offer to $15 million, but you know, Life of Pablo did not go to Martin Shkreli. So, thank Jesus. I don't really care. I didn't even listen to that album, but who cares?
Dude, so there's this Kanye documentary on Netflix. I tried to like watch it, and before I even started, I was like, "Why am I doing this?" And then I turned it on, and I was like, "Why am I watching this?" And I had to turn it off.
It's all Kanye dick suckery. Yeah, no, that guy and the guy. You know how Netflix plays you like a preview or whatever when you just go on the icon or the whatever. I was like, this guy can't even fucking talk. Like, he's reading and you can tell he's not a good reader or he's not a good speaker. Because I was like, I don't even, like, his speech cadence is that of like a 5-year-old. I couldn't do it.
Yeah, and so like there was the opening scene. I didn't know he was actually talking to us. Like, he was just mumbling. And yes. I was like, what's happening? Like, why isn't he mic'd? Like, what's the problem here? Like, why haven't we fixed his audio? Like, ugh.
Yeah, I was like, because I was like, I was doing something else and I was like trying to find somebody to watch. And when I turned on Netflix, it was already there. And I was like, ew, like, what? No. Like, obviously this is a fucking, you know, Kanye dick suckery documentary. And I'm not interested.
Suck my dick, Kanye. That's what he's saying. Yeah, because
I think he was saying, no, not suck my dick, Kanye. He was like, suck Kanye, I want to suck your dick. Because it was like, oh yeah, you know, they wasn't taking Kanye serious. I was like, oh, Rockefeller didn't take Kanye serious. And I was like, what the fuck is he talking about?
Oh, goodness gracious.
Yes, it was like that. Like,
just, I turned it off. Listen, please. I think I got like 3 minutes into it, so I just, I'm not a stan. I bought 2 Kanye albums, and it was the first 2 ones, and then he started going cuckoo, so I was like, bye-bye.
Yeah, College Dropout and the other one.
Mm-hmm.
And that was it. Those were the two, I think, those are the two best albums.
I agree as well.
He started sucking his own dick.
Okay.
Calling himself Yeezus and Yeezy and shit. Ugh. Anyway, back to the fucking Skrulli asshole. This is all after he's been arrested, by the way. That, you know, the Donald Trump, the election, and because he got arrested on December 17th, 2015. So between then and now, he's doing a bunch of shit. He gets this weird obsession with this, this journalist, and for some reason he has a bunch of people who like him, who basically, yeah, they want to fucking fellate him. So he got this weird obsession with this journalist, and he was saying, I know you love me, I know you know, we're meant to be, and they start making, like, photoshopped collages of pictures of her and him. They photoshop his head onto her husband's body, and, you know, and he's posting these pictures on and they're posting them on Twitter and Instagram. You know, they're posting these pictures, sending them to him.
Who's they?
His fans, his fanboys.
Oh, God. Uh-huh. Okay. Got it.
It's like he's the leader of the incel club. It's really gross. And so, you know, he basically, like, drives her, you know, crazy. Like, he is taking a toll on this woman's mental health because...
I bet, because he's obsessed with her. He's a stalker. Yeah, he's a straight stalker.
He basically cyber-stalks this girl. And his fanboys are, you know, indulging in this weird fucking obsession, and they're doing these photos and all this stuff. So, a lot of weird fucking shit going on, right?
Yeah.
Then... He, reporters, you know, they're doing stories on him because that's their fucking job. And he goes and instead of, you know, being a mature adult, he goes and starts buying their domain names. So, like, I own my domain name, brandyfleeks.com. But if I wanted to go out and buy sunnyhepburn.com, I could buy any domain name that I want that's not purchased, or correct, the .net, or the .gov, or the .whatever. So,
or .org, .co. Listen, I used to slang websites, and when that .com was gone, I was like, .net is the next best thing. Get that .net, son. It's weird, though. So it's weird.
I can buy your domain name and put up a website of, you know, basically ruining your life if I wanted to.
Asshole.
And there's actually a book, which one was it? One of those, like, girl boss books. And she was like, yeah, she bought the domain name of some girl that she didn't like in one of her classes or something. I was like, that is some petty bullshit.
Mm-hmm. It's a waste of your money. And it is. It's like, why are you even worried about me?
Exactly.
You went and bought the domain.
Right. Exactly. So, you know, he's been arrested, and he's still making purchases. He paid $2 million for the Wu-Tang album. He's trying to fucking buy Kanye's album for $15 million. Well, it's time for fucking jury selection. And during the jury selection process, when it was time for him to go to fucking trial, the judge had to dismiss more than 200 jurors because nobody fucking liked him. They all hated him. There were people who were like, I hate him, he should die, he should burn in hell, he, you know, is untrustworthy. There was one guy who was like, I don't know who he is, but I can look at him and tell you he's a snake. There was another one who was like, you know, I think the judge asked, is there anything that prevents you from being impartial? He was like, he disrespected Wu-Tang Clan. Like, it's just that level of people fucking hating him to the point where they're like, no, he's guilty, period, guilty, guilty, guilty. So, more than 200 jurors had to be dismissed before they found 12 people who could be impartial about, you know, the fucking trial.
What's this kid's name again?
Martin Shkreli.
What a dick.
But while he was awaiting, you know, going to trial, he was called before a panel to talk about, you know, raising the price of Retrofin. He answered not a single fucking question except for the question clarifying the spelling or the pronunciation of his name. And another question. Every answer was, I invoke the Fifth Amendment on the advice of counsel or some shit like that. And he had the most disgusting smug look on his face. Like, I seriously, like, watching, because, you know, there was video of, like, the trials and him in court and stuff. And, like, just the faces he was making, like, you could tell that he was just so fucking pleased with himself. It was gross. It was so gross. I was just like, how can they not just look at him and be like, no, no, you're going to jail. Like, you're going to prison, period, just because of your face.
Like, face that's going to jail.
Yes, it is. So, they did manage to fucking get 12 people to, you know, to who could be, who said they could be anyways, impartial about the fucking trial. And on, they, you know, they have the trial, whatever, blah, 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 blah. And on August 4th, 2017, he was found guilty on 2 counts of securities fraud and 1 count of conspiracy to commit securities fraud, and he was found not guilty on 5 other counts. After the trial, he went on fucking camera and told, you know, the press that he was delighted with the outcome, and he said that his prosecution was a witch hunt of epic proportions. Okay.
Bitch, so bye.
They released him on bail to await sentencing because, you know, he has money, apparently, even though he robbed all these people. And he does some more stupid shit while he's waiting for fucking sentencing. During December... Wait. Damn it. What, my notes keep floating. What is going on here? Okay. Okay, so August 4th was when he was found guilty. They released him on his, you know, on bail to await sentencing. Well, in September 2017, he decided that he was going to sell Once Upon a Time in Shaolin, and he was like, I'm selling this shit. I don't fuck Wu-Tang, right?
So
put the album up on eBay for auction, and he, was getting bids. Like, it got up to, you know, over $1 million. But before he could collect and sell the fucking album, he did some more stupid shit. On September 13th, 2017, his bail got revoked because he's a fucking idiot. And he went on Facebook and posted that he was offering $5,000 to someone, anyone who could bring him a strand of Hillary Clinton's hair.
What a creep. What a straight creep. Oh my God. Ew, you're weird, dude.
The judge was like, that's a fucking threat. You're going to jail.
Idiot. It's so weird. These people think they could do anything they want, say anything they want. No, that is not the case. As you gain, you know, followership, people are watching you. People are watching us too. What's up? How y'all doing? But you can't just go out and say and do that. Like, what if someone rolled up on Hill and, like, cut her hair off?
He was posting on Facebook that he had intentions to clone her, right? So then, of course, he gets bold and he's like, yeah, I'll give $5,000 to anybody who brings me Hillary Clinton's hair, a strand of her hair. So, but the judge was like, nah. That's a fucking threat. You fucking basically trying to pay somebody to assault Hillary. Your ass is going to fucking jail. So, his bail gets fucking revoked, and he goes to fucking jail. He says that the post was satire, and his lawyer was like, well, it's in poor taste, but it's not a threat, and it's, you know, it's free speech. Okay, cool. Well, you're going to jail. He went to Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn to await sentencing. So he couldn't sell the album, and he didn't get a fucking strand of Hillary's hair. Then on March 9th, 2018, he was sentenced 7 fucking years in federal prison.
Damn.
So he appealed, of course. And in 2019, the judge was like, nah, nah, the, you know, the appeals jury, they were like, nah, nah, nah. The appeals jury, the appeals court. They upheld the jury fucking verdict. They were like, nah, you fucking go back to fucking prison. You need to be in prison. Go back to jail. Do not collect, pass go, do not collect $200. And they also were like, you're going to forfeit, well, yeah, he was supposed to forfeit $7.3 million in assets. And that was part of this, the original sentencing. They were like, okay, yeah, you're going to go back to jail and you're going to serve your fucking sentence. Then he decided he wanted to fucking make a request in April 2020. He decided to make an appeal for compassionate release. He said that he should be allowed to live at his girlfriend's or his fiance's apartment. And because his company needed him to develop a remedy for COVID-19. So, he was trying to take it into his hands to cure COVID-19. So, please let me out.
And how are you going, boy, bye?
Yeah, because, you know, he still has his fucking, his drug company. Or he actually started another one.
Oh, but, yes. So he's trying to say, oh, I've got a pharmaceutical company and we're gonna, boy, bye.
Well, apparently he was, because, the judge was like, yeah, your delusional and self-aggrandizing behavior is not going to get you out of this, blah, blah, blah. You fucking stay in prison. December 2016, the New York Department of State of Taxation and Finance issued a tax warrant on him for $1.26 million for unpaid taxes that he owed. This guy's weird, okay? So, do you know what an Enigma machine is?
An Enigma machine?
Yes.
No.
Okay. So, back during World War II, the Germans would use coded messages, and they would send coded messages, you know. And this Enigma machine was used to decode their messages, to encode and decode their messages.
Oh, that's the something game, that movie that came out with, what's his name? When they had to decode the messages that were going around the war and stuff like that.
The what?
The war. During the war. World War I and II.
What movie?
The Imitation Game? Was that what it was called? With, I think it was with Benedict, what's his name?
Cumberbatch?
Doctor Strange.
I thought that was about him being a cross-dresser or a trans person or something.
He was gay.
Okay.
But he had a wife and, you know, as
a beard. I didn't watch it, obviously.
As a beard, but it was illegal and they, like, chemically castrated him.
And there was an Enigma machine in it?
They created a machine to figure out the coding and stuff. They had to put in the right words or letters to corresponding letters to figure out the code, but I think that's what you're talking about.
Yeah, okay, well, I guess it was in a movie. But yeah, so that's what an Enigma machine was. It was this big-ass fucking machine that had its own fucking typesetting that was used to code and decode messages. Yes. He had one of those in his fucking house.
Oh, that's creepy.
The government went up in there and they took that shit. And they're like, you owe us money, we're buying, we're taking this. So they auctioned it off for $65,000. He had a fucking manuscript signed by Sir Isaac Newton and a letter from Charles Darwin. And so he collected things. He collected old fucking things that were obviously very valuable. And they sold off all of these items. They seized the Wu-Tang Clan album and they sold that shit too. So they were like, we're getting our fucking money. And we're taking your shit, and we're selling it off.
Wow.
Yes. Then, in April 2018, it was reported that in court findings, New York's Attorney General had asked the judge who convicted and sentenced him, for priority on more than $480,000 in court-ordered forfeitures to recover additional unpaid taxes and penalties that he owed the fucking state of New York. And, something over the He owed the state over the federal government's claims for Scully's forfeited assets. I don't know what that means. Prior to his conviction, the state of New York had been aggressively attempting to collect tax debts from him. So he's a fucking tax evader. And has already seen...
Of course he is.
Off the auctioned off items, including a rare Nazi Enigma code machine. There it is. Okay.
Yeah, that's what it was.
At the same time, the SEC announced that he had agreed to an order that would bar him from the securities industry in order to settle a pending SEC administrative action against him because the SEC was fucking after him. However, he is eligible to apply for readmission to the industry subject to applicable laws and regulations governing the process. So, instead of saying, you are not allowed to fucking get into the in the securities industry ever again, they're like, yeah, you can reapply, sure. Like, what the fuck, dude? Keep this motherfucker out of it. Like, no.
Why are we even giving this fool hope? Like, settle down.
He's a funds misappropriator. Get him the fuck out of here. The FTC in 7 states, California, Illinois, New York, North Carolina, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Virginia all fucking sued him. They filed a lawsuit against him, and Judge Denise Coate of the U.S. District Court for the Southern District of New York issued an order on January 14th, 2022, so this year, that he had to return $64.6 million in wrongfully obtained profits.
Oh, shit. That's a lot of money.
The money is to be distributed to victims nationwide. The court found that he had violated federal and state law, through an anti-competitive scheme to delay the entry of generic competition for at least 18 months and banned him from the pharmaceutical industry for life. So the SEC is like, yeah, you can apply again. And the Federal Trade Commission and the judge is like, no, you stay out of the pharmaceutical industry, period.
We don't want you here.
You can't sit with us. He is scheduled to be released November 2023.
Okay, so he's still in jail. 2023. Okay.
Yeah, he's still in prison. He's in a fucking minimum security, low security fucking prison.
I'm sure he is. Club Fed.
He's not in a maximum security. Oh my gosh, his ex-girlfriend's like, he's in there with murderers and you know, hardened criminals. No, he's not. He's in a minimum fucking security fucking prison. But they did put his ass in solitary because he was doing business. He had a fucking,
A phone.
A contraband phone, and he was making phone calls and doing business while he was in prison, and they were like, no, no, and they put his ass in solitary. But his ass he's still in prison, and it doesn't look like he's going to be coming out early, thank Jesus, because fucking Anna fucking Delvey got out early. Anna Sorokin got out
early. Sorokina. Yeah.
Sorokina. She got out early. But he is not, so thank Jesus for that. Find something else to keep his ass in there longer.
Maybe he'll do some dumb shit. I don't know.
The problem is that he thinks he's smarter than everyone else.
That's the problem.
And he is. Most he's intelligent. Yeah, he's intelligent, but he is an idiot. And of course, in the documentary, they have a doctor who was like, yeah, we did, you know, evaluations on him. And it turns out that he, you know, they diagnosed him as having autism. But obviously a very, very high functioning, kind of like fucking Elon Musk. But he did, you know, he used his power for evil. They also did compare him to a supervillain, and he embraced that title, and so he was like, like,
he thinks he's Lex Luthor and shit. He thinks he's Lex Luthor.
And yeah, people compared him to Lex Luthor, and people compared him to, you know, the Penguin, and so it was just like, you're calling him a super villain, and he enjoys that title, and so he's walking around acting like an asshole. And in the documentary, people were like, oh yeah, you know, he's a nice guy, you know, once you get to know him, outside of, you know, the way he's acting to the public, he's actually a nice guy. Okay, he can be a nice guy to you, but if he's going to be a dick to everyone else, he's a dick. Like, you don't get to choose to be nice to one or two people and then be a dick to everyone else. Be nice to everybody else and be a dick to one or two people. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you talking about?
Well, that was very interesting. I didn't even really think about this fool, so what a fuckface.
Yeah.
What you been watching? Well, you've got some time at home, so what are you going to be watching this week, or what have you been watching?
Oh, gosh. I started rewatching Californication last night, which I find very enjoyable. I love Californication. What else did I watch? I, of course, watched this Sorokin movie. Dollface Season 2 is out. I started watching the first episode, but I fell asleep, so I have to, I went into a wine coma, so I had to jump back into watching that. But, yeah, I've been, just catching up on all the shows that I already watched, so. What have you been watching?
What have I been watching? I've been watching Selling Sunset. That's my test prep. I've just been watching a bunch of Selling Sunset.
That's your test prep.
No, but I actually watched this documentary on Netflix. It was called, Hunting the Ultimate Con Man or something. It was called The Puppet Master. That's what it was called. Hang on a second. It was called The Puppet Master. Netflix.
Was it that British one? I can't remember.
Yes, it was.
Okay,
and,
yeah, that's
it. Yeah, it was called The Puppet Master, Hunting the Ultimate Con Man. It was only 3 episodes, and this guy's a piece of shit. Yeah. Oh, my God, he's a piece of shit.
I was going to do an episode on him, too.
Well, we could talk about him later, but I watched the documentary yesterday, and I was like, this motherfucker, how dare you? He would say he was a spy, right? He works for MI6, and he's a spy. And he's like, fool, if you're a spy, you don't tell people you're a spy. That's the spy first rule. It's like Fight Club. You don't talk about Fight Club. You know what I mean? And so if someone approached you, if people approach you and say, hey, I'm in the CIA, I'm in the FBI, I'm in this, I'm in that, they're lying to you. Stop right now. They're the worst spy ever. Okay. Austin Powers status. Get out of here. But to see how he was shuffling that girl around for 10 years and what she had gone through, and I loved her dad. Her father was just like, I'm not giving up. So it's really interesting to watch, but there's still no ending to it because those kids' mom is with him. It's weird. It's such a weird situation. He's a master manipulator. I was watching that, studying for my test. I'm going to do some more studying tonight, or yesterday I'm going to do some more studying when yesterday. You're listening to this podcast, podcast talk future. But I don't know what else is on. I should be. Oh, I want to. I started watching The Book of Boba Fett. Excuse me. Let me take a step back. I know everybody's already watched it and love it. I'm only on episode 2. And the Book of Boba Fett, it started off kind of slow for me, but then it started picking up. So I think I'm going to go ahead and finish watching the series. What else? I don't know. Whatever comes on, if it's interested, I'm going to try and watch it, I guess. Why not?
Cool bands. I have not watched the Book of Boba Fett. I still haven't even watched Mandalorian.
I just watched the first, and The Mandalorian's coming back. I just watched the first, 2 seasons of Mandalorian, and I followed it or whatever, but, you're not missing anything. But, what is his name? Why can't I think of his name? The director. Favreau. Jon Favreau. He is getting paid.
Yes, he is. He's come a long way since Swingers.
Oh, yes, yes. He's all grown up.
Yep.
Anyway, let's shut this shit down. Hey, guys, thanks for listening. If you are enjoying what you're listening to, go ahead and subscribe, follow, come back, give us a little love, a little TLC, and check out some of our other podcast friends in the Darkcast Network. There is a bunch of stuff to listen to. You could listen to podcasts in Pod Nation, the Pod Apocalypse, Lady Pod Squad. We're a part of all of it, y'all. So check out some of our podcasts out there. I'm Sunny Hepburn.
And I'm Brandy Fleeks.
And this was
Book
of Lies. The podcast.
Bold bitches!